From last Friday, we began the study of the ninth chapter, which explains, as promised by Lord, that the supreme secret and supreme wisdom, along with its experience, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam, it is told that this is the knowledge that will be told to you, Arjuna, which is firstly a supreme secret. It is not apparent to people. They do not realize this, and thus it remains deep hidden. And also it is the knowledge that is coming along with the experience of it. The knowledge and its practice both have been told here, and also told that when you know this, nothing else remains to be known further. It is this knowledge is being told here. Also, this knowledge is easy, susukham. You can learn it without much problem. You don't have to get enrolled in some university, paying huge hefty fees for it. You do not need to go set up a big $1 million lab to get this knowledge. This is easily doable. Anybody can get this knowledge. It is easy to attain to, easy to obtain. This is this knowledge. And now, Lord is telling that you will get all these advantage by getting this wisdom. But then, what will happen if you do not get this? It is not that you may say, sometimes it appears, okay, I do not care for all that big knowledge and deliberation. Let me live just like this. No, if you do not get this knowledge, then you fall into this terrible suffering that is this world. If you do not try to get liberated from it, then the bondage becomes more and more difficult for you. It is therefore very important that we understand and try to acquire this knowledge, both illumination from both sides. What do you get by doing this? You get the liberation, the freedom, and also the total fulfillment, because nothing more remains to be known then. Everything is known. And as we understand, knowledge is power. When you have all knowledge, you have all power too. So, that is the glory of this knowledge. You get this. Nothing else remains to be achieved in life then. And if you don't get this, what happens? That is being told now in this third verse. Ashraddhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Persons wanting in faith in this teaching, O scorcher of foes, return to path of this mortal world without attaining me. If you do not have the faith to begin to walk on this path, then what happens? Well, why do we not have the faith here in this? That is the power of Maya. We have faith in all the transitory things which come and go away. We have a lot of faith in those. But when it comes to the knowledge that is behind, that is pervading in and through all these appearances, we start doubting it. Where is that? Is there such a knowledge or not? We get the doubt about it. But that which is continuously shifting, on that we have faith. Sri Ramakrishna used to tell that a person, while climbing the stairs, says, "Hey, I don't have faith in God." But that person may just fall and get killed there. We have faith in that passing thing. That is here today, gone tomorrow. But we question the faith, question the existence of substratum on which everything is standing. So, this is where Lord is trying to bring our attention, that why you are not having this faith in the existence of the ocean. You have faith in existence of waves which go up and down. They are there momentarily. And that you see as right exist. But the ocean of existence, that you doubt whether it exists or not. And if you doubt that, what happens? This is, here he calls it the dharma. If you do not have faith in this dharma, here the meaning of the word dharma is very important, very beautiful. The word dharma has various connotations. Sometimes it is understood or translated in English as duty. Sometimes it is holding on to path of righteousness. Sometimes it is also understood as that which holds everything together, dharma. All these meanings are associated in this word dharma. When it is said here, that it is translated here as teaching. Yes, in this teaching, that also is a meaning of dharma. Because this is a teaching that you should live your life with, and that is why it becomes dharma. The dharma also refers to the characteristic or qualities pertaining to anything. Like it is said in that it is the dharma of a snake to bite. It is not wrong for a snake to bite. It is its dharma. It will bite. So it is dharma of fire to burn. That is the characteristic quality of a thing is also called dharma. So here the word dharma has this connotation of many shades are mixed here, that as human beings, your dharma, your purpose of life, your special feature of life is to realize truth. All other things, the running after pleasures of senses, the animals also do. There is not much of a difference in human beings and animals in that respect. There is, the animals also do all that. Animals also have their ways of entertainment. Human beings also have. Animals eat, human beings eat. Animals also sleep, human beings sleep. There is no difference between them. The animals procreate, human beings procreate. There is no difference on that count. The real difference is therefore cited as dharma. Dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshu. That beautiful couplet in Sanskrit, that ahar nidra bhayamaithunam cha, eating, sleeping, then procreation and all that, fear, that is common with human beings and animals. What makes the distinction? Dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshu. This aspiration to get liberated from this bondage of world, that is the special feature, special dharma of human beings. It is here we get separated from the animals, and it is therefore important for us to follow this path to bring out or to express our special feature. The special feature designates or characterizes a thing. It is in the Sanskrit verses on philosophy or the aphorisms on philosophy, it is said that whatever is the special feature of something, that should be used to identify it. Like all human beings, you know, if I tell, I saw a person, and then the person was trying to steal, and the officer, police officer may request me to, can you describe that person? And if I say, well, I saw he had a nose, it doesn't bring any special characteristic. Human, all human beings have nose. So that doesn't specifically tell any special feature. So what is, if I tell a special feature of human beings, they eat. Well, everybody eats, amoeba eats, mosquito eats, this cat eats, dog eats, lion eats, who doesn't eat? All birds eat, fish eat, everything, every animal eats. So what is the special feature? It doesn't describe human beings. What then would describe human beings? If you say they have two legs, well, birds have two legs. Does it mean that human beings? No. It is, you have to specify a particular feature that separates them from others. And what is that feature? It is this aspiration for liberation. It is not to get entangled in this. All human beings therefore feel at various levels, in various different ways, this bondage and the feel of infinite, whether we are aware of it all the time or not. But everybody feels that time to time those moments come where the mind starts thinking, what is the meaning of all this? When did it all begin? What is the source of this? Who am I really? Those thoughts, they come up. Every child gets these thoughts. Today I was talking to some children from the Moses Brown School. So they had come here with their teacher, and the question was asked about, very beautiful question, that tell us about your personal spiritual journey. Now, I asked them, first let us see what is journey. What is the meaning of journey? And the students, they very nicely replied, going from one place to another place. And I also then asked, is it just a roaming about, or what specifies a journey? A purpose is there. you go from one place to another place, you take up the journey for a purpose. Now, that is physical journey. Then there is the journey that you do in your dream, the journey in the mind. That even now I said you are thinking and you are having your journey. You may be, your mind might be on a world tour, who knows. So, you still are having a journey. So, mind moves, mental journey. And then what is spiritual journey? Tell me. You asked me about my spiritual journey. So my question to you is, what do you understand by spiritual journey? We spoke about physical journey, you understand, that you change your physical position with a purpose to fulfill. Similarly, your mental positions change because of some desire, you change those. Now, what is the meaning of spiritual journey? And then we had a nice discussion about that. Do you not, I said, think about the where did I begin, where I was before my birth? And they said, yes, we did get these thoughts in childhood. Everybody gets this, that what I was I doing before birth, where was I, what was the beginning of all this, and the eternity and infinite expanse of our true self. When we want to get rid of this spiritual position that I am so and so, I am this body or I am this mind, the identification of self with these things, the changing things, that is the spiritual position right now. But I don't think that this is the right position. And the right position is that I am the all-pervading self. I am the unborn, undying, the eternity itself. That is the destination of this journey. So, this journey, this taking up this journey is the special dharma of human beings. To the extent that we take up this, to that extent we are human beings. Otherwise, we are not very different from animals. We may build big edifices. What does it matter? No, it is every creature, they have their own nests, big or small. So we build big ones. The ants also have their big anthills. They have their houses, they have their buildings, and some of them are more artistic than human beings built. See, it is the way the bees have their hives, very nicely built, with all these air conditioning systems and heating systems all built in. It is very beautifully done. So, is that the human speciality? Human beings require all different radar systems and other things from to fly. The birds, say the migratory birds, fly thousands of miles without any such system. Are they not then the better things, better beings in some respect? They have some special features, but the special feature of human beings is to follow this dharma and to get liberated. It is here that day our humanity lies, to feel that I am in everyone. In all different bodies, the same self is. So this is the dharma of human beings. So one must understand this dharma. If we do not understand this dharma, then what happens? That it is aprapyamam. You do not then realize the Lord. We fail to realize the Lord because we are not going in that direction at all. And having failed to realize Lord, look at what happens. The life is just wasted, and we are therefore getting born again and again, dictated by the various sensual desires, and accordingly the body is given to us according to our karma, the actions, and we get that body. This the knowledge that was told earlier, that knowledge is that therefore the dharma, to practice this knowledge, to understand it and to put it in practice, follow that path by which one can put it in practice, that becomes the dharma, and one has to therefore practice it. If not, the result is this, that we have to be born again and again. And in what form we will get born is difficult to tell, depending on all different desires that spring in our minds. In last chapter we saw, the 8th chapter, that whatever thing is uppermost in our mind at the time of death, accordingly we get born. And if this idea of liberation is not cultivated, if this idea of coming to God is not cultivated, then we don't get it at the time of death. At the time of death, we will be dying, thinking what my son is doing and what my daughter is doing and all those things, you know, whether my property is safe or not. Well, you are dying, what about? But the mind is so much in that it doesn't even strike. People keep on thinking about those things. What will happen to my books? What will happen to all these nice things I have collected? In the youth, they do not bother about it. They collect so many things in the house. This is what I brought from Nairobi. This is what I, when I went to Japan, you know, such nice things. You can't get them here, I tell you. This is how to, they can impress other people, you know, that I therefore got it. So, it is, you get all those things. And now, it was just yesterday, one lady was telling me, asking me, what should I do? I don't know what will happen to all those things, these nice things that I have collected. I don't think my children are anyway interested in those things. They are just going to throw that away. And what will happen? Well, think about your liberation. Don't think about those things. It is how you use those things is important. What will happen to them after, what is happening to them right now? They are just keeping show pieces there, make use of them, and that's enough. But we keep on thinking those bondage, you know. So they, what will be the life then? You will be reborn again. Maybe if you are worried about a particular book, what will happen to those, all those books? You may get reborn as one of the worms in those books. Who knows, you know. It is because you could not leave that. So, the best way to be with that book will be born with one of those bookworms. So, no, it is one of the possibilities. Who knows? But it is, because if that thought is uppermost, who knows what will happen. So it is important, therefore, to walk on this path. so that we will achieve this liberation. If not, again and again, mritya samsara vartmani. Vartma means the path. And what is this path? Path of this death. Again and again, getting born means dying. It is, don't think that it is, when something is born, we celebrate. Oh wow, a child is born, give a big party. And but do we celebrate death like that? Hey, come on! He is dead now. It is... we don't do that, but this is birth is automatically, physically the journey is going towards death. It is certain something. It is something that is sure to happen. It is... whether you weep or not, or you laugh, doesn't matter. It is some, the journey is going towards death. Every moment we are dying in a way because we are going towards death. So, it is that whether you like it or not, whether you weep or not, in some places it is, since the relatives, they are not very much concerned. And they have other things to do. But then a show of weeping, crying is to be done. So there are people who come after, if you pay them, they come and start crying, you know. It is, yes, they are specially trained for that. And then it is, I saw actually, I am not exaggerating, at one place I saw that there was, I went there, somebody had died, so I went to Asi, and then the family members were all sitting and talking to guests, and lot of crying sound used to, big cry really, and then who is crying? I said, somebody who very close must be crying there. And then I was told, no, they are specially people who are called. Like when somebody is born, you have a party, and then you call some musicians to sing, you know. Now, you pay them and call them. So, when somebody is dying, you call these people to mourn, you know, paid mourners. So, it is... but you have to die. And this is what is the path that you will be going all the time. Because you are not getting liberated. If you do not do this practice, then you have no scope for getting out of this terrible mess that we are in. So Lord says, do you want this result? A psychological a way of presenting, you know, that if you do not get liberated, do you want this? You will get this. It is, if not, then follow this path. If you don't follow, well, this is the result that you will get. Do you like this result? If you like, fine, but who is going to say, I like it? I don't like it. Then if you don't like, start acting in the right manner. It is said in one of the those famous wisdom verses, Subhashitam, that look, people want the results of good deeds, not good deeds in themselves. And they do not want the results of the bad deeds, but still they want to do the bad deeds. This is the problem, that we want the results of the good deeds. Punyasya phalamichyanti punyam nechanti manavaha. Human beings, they cherish the results of all the meritorious actions. I would like to be a good person, and everybody should respect me and all that. But what happens? You are only cherishing that desire won't do. If you have to cherish the cause to get the effect, only cherishing the effect and following the cause that is going exactly opposite, you won't get it. So, papasya phalam nechanti, papam kurvanti yatnatah. The poet says that they do not cherish, nobody cherishes the results of evil deeds, but with great efforts they will commit the evil deeds. So this is the condition if we do not get this knowledge. And then Lord says, now listen, what is this knowledge? Verse 4th and 5th could be read together also. In many translations they have been given together. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavasthitah nachamatsthani bhutani pashyame yogamaishwaram bhutabhrannacha bhutastho mamatma bhutabhavanah. All this is pervaded by me of unmanifest form. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Nor are the beings in me. Behold my divine mystery. Though the sustainer and the protector of beings, yet myself is not in these beings. This is the great secret. Many questions get asked about this apparently contradictory things told in this verse. Many things which are contradictory at our plane are harmoniously together in Lord. Human beings, whether we are with form or without form, if you say both, it will look apparently contradictory. But God, yes, with form as well as without form. Is God infinite or finite? In other things it may appear contradictory, but with God both these things are possible. It is, let us see this verse, very beautifully presented truth of Vedanta, that the reality is immanent in everything and yet transcendent over everything. A great principle. Maya means by me. Tatam means occupied, or by me everything is pervaded. Idam sarvam. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat. All this world. This means that which with which we are aware. All this world, that everything that we perceive without exception, including our body, our mind, and whatever is perceived through that, the beginning of this perception of this world starts with this instrument of perception, the body and the mind. Like if you have, say, a telescope, you have put the telescope to the eye, and now through the telescope you are seeing a large vista. Now, what are you perceiving? You may say, I am perceiving this, the mountains and the river. But that begins with the telescope. You are first perceiving the telescope. Similarly, when this world is perceived, we have applied not a telescope really, but a kaleidoscope to the our true nature, and then that is going out through this kaleidoscope of mind and the sense organs, and this one appears as all this. So all this He is really pervaded by what? It is Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. A kaleidoscope may have one or two pieces of glass beads, something very little. It's a nice instrument to get the idea of this world. Very, very beautiful, very illustrative. I hope you, most of you have seen in your childhood a kaleidoscope. It is the mirrors, three mirrors, they make a triangular tube with three mirrors. And then inside a few nice glass beads or something are put. Now, when you look from the other side, then you see the reflections. They go on multiplying and multiplying indefinitely. And you see the whole universe. You just turn the tube, the scene changes. You can spend, as child I remember, spending hours and hours watching every time new. Like this world. Every moment it is new. Again and again, we with enthusiasm turn it. Ha! We say, what this world. Wonderful. Things keep on changing, altering, forming connections, new connections. These connections take place in those beads. They multiply in various ways. And so you see, wow, I have got this and this and this, multiplication of all this, forming relationships, forming new things, again getting connected with those. What is there really? All that is pervaded actually by only those two, three glass beads. Those two, three glass beads, that is making everything that appears. So, all that we see is actually, truly pervaded by the Lord alone. There is absolutely nothing else there. Maya Tatam. Tatam means pervaded. And that is how that one way of addressing Lord is this, that the pervader of all, that Lord is pervading in everything, this world of our perception, our thoughts, they are also pervaded by that. Our mental perceptions, physical perceptions, everything is pervaded by Lord. Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. And in what way? Avyakta Murtina. My unmanifest being has pervaded all this. What has pervaded? That is very beautiful. When you are seeing through kaleidoscope, all that, a wonderful scene. But all that scene is really those a few glass beads, a few beads put there. But those beads are not seen at that time as beads. They are seen as the whole universe. So the God is seen as all this. Where is that God? That is not seen. That is hidden. Avyakta means not manifest. That is not manifest. The world becomes manifested. It is the world gets manifested where Lord is. And then we keep on looking for the Lord. Where is this Lord? It is the manifestation that, like that story of the forest. Where is the forest? The trees, they started asking each other, where is the forest? They heard somebody talking while going in the forest. Oh, what a fearsome, terrible forest this is. And some tree heard it and asked another tree, have you seen forest? The other tree said, I have never come across forest. I am here. Let us go and ask the other tree. Banyan tree is very old. It might have seen forest in its 500 years life. The banyan tree said, well, no, I am really here for 500 years. I have seen many fearsome creatures. I have seen tigers, lions, and this and that. But a fearsome forest, new to me. I have never seen forest. Now, where is the forest? They are all forest. Forest is pervading in and through each of them. That is the forest, and they don't know what the forest is. So, avyakta, hidden. So, Lord remains hidden in all this manifestation. So, jagad avyakta murtina, by my unmanifested form, all this is totally pervaded. And they are all in me. They are all in me. All the waves are in the ocean. Similarly, all these coming and going, all these forms which rise and fall, they are in the Lord. They are right there in the Lord. Although they are in the Lord, Lord says, I am not in them. I sound so contradictory. You just said that I pervade in everything. But I am not in them now. What do you say? This I am not in them. Well, that is how it is. I am not in them. I am not caught in them. This is where the practice of transcendence is hinted, which will be continued in the next verse. Otherwise, we say that it is something that just to support our attachment to the world. We keep on saying, well, God is in that. So my getting attached to that is getting attached to Lord, is it not? I do not want to get rid of my ignorance. And therefore, do scriptures not say that God is in this person that I love, and so therefore by loving that person I am actually loving God? Well, just think about it. God is not in any of those things. God is pervaded in and through everything, but Lord says, I am not caught in anything. Are you really thinking of that as God and loving it? That would have been a very different thing. That I love that person as my so-and-so, my wife, my husband, my father, my mother, my community member, and so forth. Not as Lord. So Lord for you is not in that at all. You are not seeing it as Lord. Somehow, to just blunt the conscience that is telling you, hey, you are getting attached, to blunt that conscience, you tell, no, Lord is in that, so I am not getting attached, but I am getting attached to Lord. So Lord is telling, hey, don't cheat yourself. I am not in any of those things. I am in everything means people get this idea that like a fruit is in the basket. There is a basket and there is a fruit. Fruit in basket. So a person is there and Lord, a person is like the basket. And Lord is like the fruit kept in the basket. Is Lord in that like that? It is, Lord says, I am not in them. And in the next verse, he clarifies that point further. That although all of those beings are in me, and yet I am not in them. And as separate beings, they are not in me either. They are not in Lord. We get the idea that, well, if we become devotees, then we will go in heaven and stay with Lord. Separately, like It is a very prevalent idea and very soothing to many. The continuation of this very life again in heaven. That okay, and then again I will be with my beloved wife there, my wife will also be there, I will also be there, and we will be living that kind of same kind of life there too. It is only there will not be too many worries of losing the jobs here in Providence. It is a big problem now, whole all over United States. So in heaven you will not have that problem. So our John, if he goes to heaven, will not have much to worry about. It is there is no removing of the jobs. And also you don't have to buy any things. But the problem is then we have our tendencies to show superiority to each other. What will happen to that? Therefore this idea that we will be there in God all separately. And God says, no, nachamatsthani bhutani, nor are the beings in me. I didn't say that I am pervading everything in this sense of physicality, so that everything is in me, and not as separate physical beings. What I want to say is that this is an illusion that you are living in, that I am so and so, and this is my wife, and this is my husband, and this is my so, and this is all really not true. This is an appearance that you are living with. That appearance will go away. This movie that you are seeing will go away. The screen is pervading in and through each of the pictures in the movie, is it not? Every picture in the movie, is it not, Triveni? Every picture in the movie, there is screen in that. So, that screen is in every picture. But is the screen in that picture really? No, it is not really physically going inside the picture. The picture is an appearance there. The screen appears as so many pictures. The pictures, they are not in the screen anyway. They are in the screen and they are not in the screen. Both is true. It is when the switch, electric switch is put off, then none of those pictures are there. They are gone. They were never there. If you want to pick up one of those pictures from the screen, you will not be able to do it. It is not there. It is an appearance. So see this, that Lord is in everything. This is again an example that to illustrate that how Lord pervades the whole universe. Lord pervades the whole universe. But in what sense? It is in this transcendental sense that Lord is beyond all these names and forms, and yet the names and forms are seen on this. They come and go. Those names and forms have absolutely no stability, no entityship either. It is God alone that is true there. A truth that is not very easy to digest, not very easy to comprehend and practice, but yet that is truth. And there is no compromise about truth. It is, you cannot change the truth to suit you. Truth is truth. That is the idea about truth. It doesn't bend according to your wishes. It doesn't bend according to your likings. It is there. And you have to change your awareness to accommodate it. You cannot bend the truth or compress or stretch it to fit into what you think. But your thinking has to change so that the truth now manifests in you. And this idea is very beautiful. Although we have read this verse, we don't have enough time to go through the whole verse this time. It is, and therefore Lord calls this Yoga Maishwaram. Maya tatamidam sarvam nacha masthani bhutani pashyame Yoga Maishwaram. Nor are the beings in me, behold my divine mystery. That is the divine mystery. That Lord is in everything and yet not caught in anything. Lord is beyond everything and yet everything is dependent on God. Lord is independent. Am I independent if you say that God is not in me, I am not in God, so I and God have no connection? No, you are dependent on God. God is not dependent on you. You are dependent on God. It is a very terse verse in a way to understand because of our attachments to the pictures. All these names and forms, we are so attached to them that we do not want to feel that they are unreal. Although as forms they are unreal, they are real in the sense of God and not in the sense of the particularized names and forms. In that sense they are not real, but as God they are real. So this is a wonderful contradiction that we all have to understand in our life. This contradiction is because of our ignorance. Lord doesn't have this contradiction, that it appears as all this, but none of this is a Lord. And everything yet is in Lord, but again not in Lord as a separate special entity. Like you have so many clothes in the closet, so you may think of Lord as a big closet in which all of us are hanging in there. We say hanging in there, is it not? So we are all like the clothes hanging in the closet of God. No, not like that. It is a great idea here. We shall continue to explore it. Any questions? Yes, Abhijit?
Why would it say it's easy to comprehend?
Well, it is susukham. It is easy to comprehend compared to most other things. All other things are impossible to comprehend. This is at least possible to comprehend. In that sense, it is easy. All other things that we think of being illusory, they cannot be comprehended at all. It is an impossibility to comprehend them. But this being the truth, being the reality, is easy to comprehend. It is, we have to just brush aside the attachments, keep them, push those attachments even temporarily aside, and it starts becoming clear. In that sense, it is easy. But because our attachments to this world, they interfere, and therefore it becomes difficult. Otherwise, it is easy. Turn your that how easy it is to see the microphone. That example I gave you earlier. That it is very easy to see the microphone, but if my face is in the other direction and I don't want to turn it, then it is so difficult to do it. it is difficult and easy in that sense. Yes, Charles?
Do you have any advice on how to do Karma Yoga by serving God and people?
Well, that is, you have to see that they are all manifestations of God and serve them. Doing Karma Yoga, as you are asking, doing Karma Yoga means in various ways it is done. There are steps that one can take in doing this by gradually reducing the attachment to our body, our mind. Even the body far, away, we are not only attached to body, but all the connections with the body. That my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, and it goes on expanding. It is all connected to the body. It is all the physically joined things. So, even to reduce attachment to them is difficult. What to speak of reducing attachment to the physical awareness that I am the body. So, the ways to work without interest in any of those attachments. Work where you do not have such physical attachments. By working where you have all these physical attachments, what happens? Those attachments become stronger and stronger. When you work for something where you have only the spiritual attachment, then that spiritual thing grows. And the work is such an instrument that whatever attitude that you work with, that attitude gets strengthened by the work. Yes, that is, they tend to, but that is where that limitation of their liberation therefore stays there. As the awareness expands, so the liberation also expands. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Let me remind you, on coming Sunday we have the celebration of the birth anniversary of Sri Ramakrishna, and with various programs from 11 o'clock in the morning till 7 in the evening. So please come for any or all of these. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarahi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvine Srita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko mantrah tasya namani yani karmapyekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna arpanamastu.